Now we're going to go into the first part, rather the first reading, which is from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 18, verses 6 to 9. And it is this theme of alertness. These verses talk about the Exodus and the killing of the firstborn of the Egyptians and the Exodus of the Jews. That night was known beforehand to our ancestors, to our forefathers. So that with sure knowledge of the oaths in which they put their faith, they might have courage. Now, what oaths are these? Basically, God's oaths. I promised the land to Abraham. He promised. And so sure knowledge of the oaths in which they put their faith, they might have courage. God has promised, and we can count that. Have you ever sat down and tried to write out, what promises do you know? Behold, I'm with you all days until the end of the world. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. You know, anyone who calls upon me will never be disappointed. These are all promises. Are they in our minds? Where are we? In a way, we're back to this theme of recollection, but this time it's more under the theme of memory. First, knowledge. You see, that night was known beforehand to our ancestors because it was revealed to them. So that with sure knowledge of the oaths, God's oaths, in which they put their faith, they might have courage. The Lord has promised us, and we can trust Him. You see? Well, it's up to us, you see, to carry these promises. If any man love me, he will keep my commandments, and my Father will love him, and I will love him, and I will show myself to him. Well, those are promises. And to know that text, 14:26 in John, to know those texts, or anyone wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Those are promises. So that if we get together and we're sitting there and we're praying a little bit and we're sharing in real love with one another and building one another up, the Lord is there in our midst. He promised to be there. So that's the kind of thing he's saying here, you see. Sure knowledge of the oaths in which they put their faith, they might have courage. They might have courage when at midnight all the firstborn of the Egyptians are slain, and they know now that they can leave. The expectation of your people was the salvation of the righteous and the destruction of their foes. That was the expectation because it was the promise. It was what God said He was going to do. But if we don't keep that in mind, how do we stay sane in a busy, pressure job or just walking down the street? Can you see how our lifestyle? I can remember, many years ago now, I forgot how many. I was over in Jordan with the group from the Ecole Biblique, and we were up on top of a hill looking at the ruin of a city. I forgot what name of the city that was. And there was a bus coming up the hill. And there was a farmer between us and the bus. You know, and he stopped. And he just looked at that bus for about 15 or 20 minutes, watching it make its way up the hill. Now, what was he doing? Well, in a way, it was kind of contemplation. He's looking at the bus. Well, it's a bus from our side, that is the Jordan side. It's full of tourists. Even though this is a distance, they're probably German, because the Germans are great tourists, and so forth. In other words, he's paying attention to what's going on. And but what if we were to pay attention to what's going on? Because what's really going on is that God is pouring out His mercy and His grace through the blood of Christ to save the human race. That's what's really going on. And forgiving and calling us back. And yet, You see, the only thing on the news at night is the murders, the riots, the latest fiasco, and so forth. That's not what's really going on. And so you see, that they might have, that with sure knowledge, or surely know, and believe from the oaths, and that would give them courage. The expectation of your people was the salvation of the righteous and the destruction of their foes. This is elliptical Greek, and therefore English. See, the expectation of your people was for the soteria of the just and the destruction of their enemies. And why was that the expectation? Because God promised it. But he's promised that to us. No, we're not in exile, and we're not all in slave labor or whatever. But the Lord has promised certain things. And to keep those certain things in mind, you see. Well, actually, you know, there's 12 steps of humility in the rule of St. Benedict. And the first one is to flee all forgetfulness. Now, it takes time. But as I started to say, you know, when I lived alone, I didn't have any trouble being aware of the real issues of life and praying for them. Because they were present to me. And once you get driving down the hill and get back and chatting with everybody and, you know, driving down the road or going to the movies or, I mean, it's all gone. At least that kind of awareness. Now, not everybody's supposed to live as a hermit. He's supposed to be married, have children, and care for their children, and have a job. But they're not supposed to forget. You see, that first degree of humility is to flee all forgetfulness. Don't walk around with your head up in the clouds, your head some other space. Know what's going on. And that's what they're saying here. So the expectation of your people was the salvation of the righteous and the destruction of their enemies. Now, for by the same means with which you punished our adversaries, you glorified us whom you had summoned. For in secret, the holy children of the good were offering sacrifice and carried out with one mind the divine institution. He's alluding here, this is the Book of Wisdom, to the tradition that even though they were in exile there in Egypt and in forced labor, they worshipped Adonai. They worshipped the one true God and found a way to do this and to circumcise their sons and to practice their faith. And of course, that was the same when they were in exile the other way up in the north. So, for in secret, the holy children of the good is the way this translation goes. You see, of the good, were offering sacrifice and carried out with one mind the divine institutions. That would probably mean the all the things that the Lord had prescribed, and maybe the new one which he was prescribing right now, that is the Passover Supper. So that your holy ones should share alike the same blessings and dangers once they had sung the ancestral hymns of praise. And that's this recollection. It's memory. It's being aware. One of the reasons why, you see, we have liturgy, well, every day, but obligatory every Sunday, is so that we don't forget how easy it is. You know, if you skip Mass and go play golf or something like that, and you do it 3 or 4 weeks, you'll notice that the quality of your life is deteriorated. You're more angry, you're more lustful. You've forgotten what it's all about. And that's why that first degree of humility in St. Benedict's rule is to flee all forgetfulness. Be aware that there is a God that we're going to have, that you, I, are going to have an assessment. And what is it going to be, you see? And how are we living and how are we choosing? And while there's a certain amount of fear there, that's not so bad, but it's meant to grow into, so that the saints, you know, I know someone who worked very closely with Cardinal Ratzinger when he was in the Holy Office. And when he was moved over to be Pope, a reporter said to this friend of mine, "So you worked very closely with him. What would you say was his most outstanding characteristic?" And my friend replied, "He was always recollected." I thought, what a compliment. He's always aware of what's really going on and not all the stuff that's, you know, and aware of the presence of God. That's where peace is, my friends, to practice that, to learn that. Now, don't do it like Franny and Zoe. You might crack up like she did, but practice. And when you're in the car, better silence, but at least, you know, something that will help you be aware. But better silence, at least most of the time. And not the news. Most of the news is not news anyway. You know, A shot B. Okay. The next day, C shot D. I mean, it's the same stuff, just different actors. I don't say we don't care about that. But if we're recollected, we can pray for that, pray about that. So that's what's being said here. You see that your holy ones should share alike the same blessings and dangers once they had sung the ancestral hymns of praise together. Now the psalm, you see, goes along with that. Exult you just in the Lord. Praise from the upright is fitting. Blessed the nation, and that's the word Asherah, where we get Beatitudes from. Blessed the nation whose God is Adonai, the people he has chosen for his own inheritance. My friends, that's us. We've been chosen to know Jesus Christ, rejoice in him, rejoice in his love, feed on his body and blood, hear his word. Oh my goodness, have we ever been chosen? Well, we're not chosen because of our eminent sanctity. We're chosen by some mysterious plan of God, and our response is twofold: to God, to pay attention to God, to pray to God, to listen to God, to obey God and to trust him, and to human beings. Tell them about God. Help them and learn from the Holy Spirit how you're supposed to do that. You know, you just don't walk out in the street and start shaking your rosary beads at everybody because they just turn you off. But how do you win them over to know the Lord? Well, as they say, the best advertisement is a satisfied customer. If you are at peace, if you rejoice in the knowledge of God, if you have some appreciation of who Jesus Christ is and what he's done for you, then you're a satisfied customer, and you're the best advertisement for a life of faith that you could ever find. Amen.